fighting for America.
We've cut our deficit, by the way, by more than half since I came into office.
Another stern warning from the Congressional Budget Office. The money the government owes will be about three quarters of the size of the U.S. economy by the end of the year.
Fighting for Idaho.
We just want to find out what it is that's causing a customer that's been with us for a long time to leave.
Because that's what I want. That's what I want.
Okay, so why is that what you want?
Because that's what I want.
Fighting for you.
Your thoughts on the Gipper?
I could say it in four words. A good man, great president. He was a wonderful man to work for, and I was fortunate to have been there. It was one of the great moments of my life.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Okay, you take it easy, my friend.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Joining us now, Tom Beals, president and owner of Allied Business Solutions. Tom, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here.
You know, we talk about these great events, and they can't really succeed without local businesses. And it's amazing to me in the world that we live in today, the successes of local businesses. Each and every day you have to earn those customers, and those thoughts, those actions aren't lost on you.
Boy, isn't that the truth? You know, it seems like yesterday, but it's coming up on past almost second decade now of being a local business and having my family right here in Nampa, just like the Stampede. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's just great to be here.
Well, you've had a chance to travel. What brought you to Idaho, and why is it so special to you?
Well, I think the quality of life. You know, not only do I love the Stampede, and we like the Stampede, but to be able to hunt and fish and raise a family in a great, you know, wholesome environment.
When we take a look at the competitive landscape for you, everybody wants to succeed, but not a lot of people are willing to pay the price.
Absolutely. You know, you've got to invest the time and really do whatever it takes to take care of a client. And, you know, it's a small town and everybody knows everybody, and that's why I'm here.
Sure. So tell us a little bit about Allied Business Solutions. What do you all do?
Well, we help people that are aggravated and frustrated with the service response they get, or they're not happy with their copiers and printers, and that's what we do.
That seems like about everybody, really, because everybody has that issue when, you know, we live in the instant gratification world and we need to get this thing fixed now and everything else, and all of a sudden, you know, we forget that whether it's Allied Business Solutions or others, people have lives, and to get out there quickly is easier said than done, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we've been fortunate enough to be recognized as one of the top 100 companies in the nation for our service response and our support. And, you know, you've got to get there fast, and you've got to fix it right the first time. People don't want to see you keep coming back on a copier.
Sure, they don't. They want the copier person to be part of their staff. You know, I sit back, though, and I look at folks each and every day that are out there competing. Talk about the challenging times. A lot of people were on the rebound, but what about during the recession? How did you guys keep the doors open?
You know, I think we kept the doors open by retaining our customers. You know, we didn't have a lot of customers leave. We did what it took to be flexible, to help them financially to get through it. And I think that's paying off now. I'm always the optimistic one. You know, I think, you know, the credit's easing. It's easier to get financing on new technology now. And I think the future looks really bright, and I'm excited about it.
Now, you deal with big businesses, small businesses?
Absolutely.
Now,
you know,
what are the unique challenges of small business owners that you can help them with? Because everybody usually has a fax machine, a copier that, you know, they're dependent on. And, you know, some people, you know, if one copier goes down, that's an issue. They can't go down the hall to the other one.
Yeah, I think, you know, with small business, I think the challenge is to really, you know, for them is to help them with the technology, whether it's dealing with all the paper they have and the scanning and the organizing of those documents. I think that's important. And then on the big businesses, they just want, you know, they might have 100 assets or 100 printers in 50 locations, and they just want, you know, one invoice and to keep it simple and know exactly what it costs them to print every document and to scan. And you know, I think that's what helps make us successful is helping those companies.
For people here at 580 KIDO that might not be in your business, Tom, but, again, they have their own businesses, what are some of the keys to success? What are the keys to keeping the lights on?
You know, I just think, you know, be yourself, take care of the customer, watch the bottom line, you know, don't overspend. And I'll tell you, it's hard to focus with the smell of the pancakes from the Buckaroo breakfast.
Indeed.
But, you know, I just think make good business decisions.
You know, when you go into a place, and this happens quite a bit, at least for me, and do you find yourself looking at these people and saying, boy, if they only did this, if they only did that when it comes to proper customer service?
I see it all the time. And, you know, you want to be able, you can almost know immediately how successful a company is or the little things they could do to improve their customer service. Yes.
Right. For budding entrepreneurs, what do you say? Because it's a scary world. It's just you and going to the bank and everything else. I mean, everybody idolizes it, but, you know, you've been there and done that. You do it today.
You know, it seems like yesterday I started with a lady named Colleen and my wife, and we had no air conditioning in this little office. And, you know, now we've got 20 people and two offices in Boise and Ontario. And I think you just have to stay at it and work hard. I think a lot of people might believe that, you know, hey, you're the boss. You can just take a vacation. And,
right.
You know, we do, because family's important and we take time and to get up to Stanley Lake or do the great things that make Idaho wonderful. But you do have to work hard and just be yourself and take care of the customer ultimately.
You know, I found when people have complaints, the really good folks, whether they solve the problem or not, let you know that they're listening. That their opinion matters. Now, I was complaining against Verizon one day, and the lady goes, well, you signed the thing. I go, nobody reads those things. They just want a phone. Well, there's nothing I can do. And I go, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to listen. Then her supervisor came on and was nice as can be and just heard what I had to say.
You know, that's key. And,
yeah.
You know, I make it a point to, when customers do have an issue, and believe me, every business, there's always going to be an upset customer at some point.
Right.
And, you know, I make it a point to get on the phone and call them, because I think it means a lot more when you call a customer and you say, hey, I know you had this problem. What can I do to help you out to make it right and to do what's right? And I think, you know, you can't hide behind a desk. You can't screen all your calls. You've got to take those calls.
Sure.
You know, you've got to call that customer and take care of them, because they'll tell people if you take good care of them.
Right. So if someone calls Allied Business Solutions, what can they expect when someone comes out to their business?
They can expect professional, courteous, identifying what the problem is, resolving that issue, and then explaining in detail what they did and what they did to solve that problem, and then a follow-up customer service call to make sure everything was done properly.
Sure. What about your employees? How important are they to you?
They're family. There's no question about it. You know, when we do events, you know, next weekend we're going up to Lucky Peak, and we've got some boats, rented, and it's not just, you know, you're an employee, you come, it's your family. And one of the girls has it's her birthday for her 8-year-old. I said, well, bring the birthday kids, let's get 4, 5, 6 more kids up there, because they'll have a good time. And I think that's important, because, you know, we spend so much time working, and half of it's home, half of it's working, so
right.
it's kind of blends together. And I think if you don't consider the people you work with part of your extended family, then I think that's a big mistake.
So, Tom, if people want to get a hold of you, what can they do?
They can go to our website at digitalally.com. That's digitalally.com. Or they can call us on the phone at 208-344-3833. And that's 344-3833.
See, you read my mind. I was going to repeat the number, so you read my mind on that one.
Well, I have to repeat it just so I can remember things, you know. It's like Kevin.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Well, Tom, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Take care, Tom. Thank you. Joining us now is our friend Tea Party Bob, who's going to sit here and give us his analysis of soccer.
Soccer? What is that? Is that where you kick the ball around the field and
exactly.
try to get it into the net?
Do you believe that soccer is taking over sports in this country?
Not in my house. I have no interest in soccer. I mean, I just don't get the game. You can play 10 games and nobody wins anything.
You just heard World Cup ratings at an all-time high.
Isn't that terrific? Somebody's making money.
Apparently. So you're not buying the soccer propaganda?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I think we do what we're told.
Actually. Look, everybody enjoys different sports. Let them do whatever they want. That's up to them.
Well, it's a great cure for insomnia.
Yeah, you could say that.
Now, you're leaving me this Saturday, from what I understand.
Yes, we're going to be heading up to Stanley and visiting some friends up there.
Well,
I was going to try to come in early in the morning, but then I probably fall asleep on the way in the road.
Thanks for letting us know your social agenda here. Now, you and I have been going back and forth on the illegals.
Yeah.
You disagree with me.
No, we don't disagree on everything.
Here
we disagree.
Goes. Here he goes. He's starting to yell.
No, no. We disagree on the fact that if you have sick people here, okay, the only ones that are going to get hurt if they stay here are the people to where they send them to. If they're not medically treated and they're not made well, they're only going to hurt us in other areas.
They're already hurting us.
Well, of course they are. And
we've got Border Patrol people.
I know, they don't want to go home.
No, we've got Border Patrol people that are getting the deadliest forms of pneumonia because we can't deal with these diseases. So you know what you do? Time to go.
I don't disagree they should go back, Kevin. All right? But if they're going to keep them here, you have to treat them to try to get them to a point where they're not going to infect the rest of the public, because this crazy president we've got here is going to send them all over the damn country. He's already done that.
It is crazy when you think they've thrown them on the planes without any identification.
Well, sure. I mean, no identification whatsoever. I can't wait till they open up this combat center down here and they bring them in here, but they're not going to tell us about it until it's done.
Now, let me say this to you and to Mark, who as soon as he was done on this show called Timmy and Willie and said the same thing. And Mark, if you're going to call the other show, just make sure you give credit to where you heard the governor of Nebraska on. Buck up and say it was on the Kevin Miller show and see if the two slaps over there will give you credit for it if you're going to use our material. But you and Mark have a lot of speculation, a lot of unsubstantiated allegations that do us no good.
Well, you know, the world lives on speculation, even in the stock market. Let's face it, okay?
Now you're sounding like Ron Paul
and
Jim.
I'm just like Dave Petzo, you know?
You're like Petzo.
Yes, you know, you invest in a few good rumors, and eventually some of them pan out. It's nothing different than the stock market. Invest in a few good stocks that you get as rumors, and eventually they pan out.
Now, do you believe that this is going to happen, that the illegals are coming here?
I think there's a very good chance.
Now, what are you running for office? Either you believe or you don't.
Look, they have no place to put them. If they keep swarming in here, they have to stick them someplace. You've got an empty training facility down at Orchard. You've got an empty base up in Spokane.
You know, I have it on good word. I have two intrepid reporters that went there yesterday, and you know what they found?
Nothing. Okay. Well, we'll see what
happens. Have you done any independent investigating?
All my investigation is with the rumor crowd. You know that.
Has Mark done any investigating?
I'm kind of like the president. I don't want to check anything out fully. I just want to get the rumor.
We have transparency here on this program,
yes,
sir.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, Dick Durbin says don't worry about it. All is well.
Well, they should send some of those people
about
up to live next door.
About 85% of these children will be placed with parents or other members of their family. The other 15% can go into federal foster care or may be deported back to the to their country they came from.
There you have it. Did you hear the Guatemalans can't pay for themselves?
Hey, listen, you know, I don't want these people here. I really don't. We've got 60 million children in this country that go hungry every year and every day. We can't feed them. How are we going to feed another 100, 200, 300,000 that are coming in here?
Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot. I hear John Bujak's your new best friend.
Well, we're going to talk to John, give him an opportunity to put his platform out there.
What is this, the cross-platform promotional spot here?
We give everybody an opportunity, you know?
I see. When are you going to interview me? When's going to be the behind-the-curtain interview?
Are you running for something?
I run for something each and every day. I am a accepted or rejected truly each and every day. Every day is an election day for me.
Yeah, but usually you're running from somebody that's after you, isn't it?
Wow, and usually it's you.
Occasionally.
All right, Tea Party Bob, this is your, second with us, but have you been here before?
No, actually, the only two times I've been down here is when you've been down here. I have a whole bunch of Snake River Stampede posters from way back.
Right.
Going back to the 90s. I got a collection of them. But I've only been to the rodeo.
Thank you for that insight.
Only been to the rodeo twice. I mean, I enjoy the rodeos. We used to go to them up in McCall when we were up there. They used to have their annual up there, but it's nothing like this.
What about breakfast? Are you pumped up for the breakfast?
You buying?
I'm working.
Oh, I'm going to say, maybe I'll buy you breakfast for a change.
Oh, that would be nice, and maybe you could deliver it with some orange juice.
I certainly could do that for
you.
Wow.
Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, we're stealing it from Larry Gebert, our friend Jeff Agenbrod with us here at 580 KIDO. Jeff, good to have you with us.
Well, happy to be here. Happy that you're out here at the Buckaroo Breakfast with us.
You know, it's funny. I really admire the Western values, the Western work ethic, the cowboy lifestyle, 99 years of the Snake River Stampede, the Buckaroo Breakfast. I guess you'd say I'm a supporter. I could never be one of y'all, but, I mean, it's amazing the work that goes into this, and a lot of people are going to have fun, but how much of an effort does it take to pull this off every year?
Well, Kevin, it's really a community effort. It happens to be a rodeo that we put on, and we've been doing it for 99 years. But it's really the community coming together. We have 20 board members and hundreds of volunteers that put their time and effort. We got many people that are taking the entire week off to spend at the rodeo with us, helping set up, help with our production, you name it. You think about it, and we're probably doing it in some capacity.
I'm with you. What does it mean to the volunteers? Because these are people that take time away from their business, from their family, from going to McCall or the Oregon coast to be here and to do some hard work.
Well, I think to the volunteers, they're out here because they believe in a community event. They may be rodeo people, they may not be rodeo people, but they believe in what we stand for, bringing the community together as we have for the last 99 years, one year at a time, and they want to be part of it.
What does it mean when you see the kids here and their first time cooking or serving or anything like that?
I think and I think you may be referring to our Buckaroo Breakfast, which is all of the proceeds.
Where we are, yes.
And that's where we are this morning. These kids put a lot of time and effort in just throwing pancakes on the grill, serving their parents, their grandparents, and other people. And they probably don't get this opportunity many other places as we urbanize and get away from our rural roots. The 4-H holds us to that, and we're happy to have them involved in what we're doing this morning. And, again, the proceeds all go to the 4-H clubs.
Why is that so important? You know, we talk about the Game Boys and the technology, and kids are playing soccer on their computers and not outside. To be able to have these kids become future farmers or even just be involved in 4-H, to have a greater appreciation of skills they may or may not use for the rest of their lives. Why is that important, Jeff?
I think it's the social skills. You know, there's not you can't gain all of your social skills through the Game Boys and off the computer.
Sure.
I think the interaction, just the values that you receive back from serving others. And that's really what it boils down to. Again, that's been a part of the rural lifestyle, but it's certainly not unique to the rural lifestyle. This is just an opportunity for the kids to get out, do something for the common good, and serve others.
Now, what's it like for you and people wearing the red shirts? What does that mean, the red shirts?
The red shirts are the directors, and what it means for us is probably the grown-up version of what I just described, and that is serving others.
Well, that's great. I know it's kind of like old home day for a lot of you folks that volunteer and put this together. What is the camaraderie like here?
Oh, I think it's probably a place that you can't find more camaraderie. We've got board members that have been on our board for 37 years and new board members that we just brought on this year. So you're having a mix of everything in between. It's amazing. We have one paid staff that puts on essentially $1 million business. We're now the eighth largest regular season rodeo in the world, and it happens with one paid person, a lot of contract people certainly, but the coordination and the direction is all done by the 20 volunteer board members.
Yeah, I just see a calf actually going through the parking lot. Hopefully he won't make it to the highway there. Somebody's chasing him.
Well, we have a few good ropers on site right now, so I don't suspect he's going to get too far.
Yeah, I don't think the guy has a rope. We have some breaking news here, but you'll see him come over that jabroni van in a minute. But Let's talk a little here at 580KIDO. Yep. Oh, there he goes. I guess, well, yeah. He definitely better get that guy. And there's actually, now, what is that? Is that a steer? Is that a cow? What is that, Jeff?
Well, it had a halter on it, so I'm guessing that it might be one of our calf show steers that may have gotten loose from one of the 4-H kids.
Yeah, hopefully somebody is aware of that. I don't know. I see some guy, but he's not. I think he's just doing laps over there. I don't know if we need to call security or what.
Well, that's the resourcefulness of the 4-H kids. I am confident that they probably have it under control.
I think we could send Will and Jacob down there in the Scion to herd that that little doggy or whatever. What about the really? Is there not a bull or a calf or whatever going through the parking lot right now?
There is absolutely a steer running through the parking lot.
Yeah, I wonder if I hope he's going to be okay. See, I'm worried about this. See, this is why I can never be one of you guys, because I sit there and I worry about the steer, even though he'd run me over without remorse.
Yeah. He may do that, depending upon where you were and where he wanted to be.
What about the talent coming in for people that are getting excited to see the Snake River Stampede? What about the cowboys and all the skills required? What type of talent y'all bringing in today?
Well, the talent that you're going to see not only today, again, tonight's the first night of the rodeo. We have six performances between now and Saturday night, with two on Saturday. You're going to see the world's best cowboys and cowgirls. Being the large rodeo that we are, $420,000+ in prize money that will be given out to the winners this year. They don't miss this rodeo. So you're going to see the same talent that you see at the National Finals Rodeo as they build their points and paychecks towards that in December.
Right here in Nampa.
Right here in Nampa.
And for people that are in Mountain Home or anywhere else, great thing about the Ford Idaho Center, it's right off the highway, exit 38. Boom, you're there. You don't have to really mess with a lot of traffic in and out.
Easy to get to. There is no parking charge in the parking lot this week while they have the Stampede, so we try to make it easy and accessible for all of our fans.
Jeff Hagenbrod, we appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Don Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, along with Dave Burnett here as we start your day with fun, frivolity, action, and adventure. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So here we are. The big news coming out, I guess, last night that Peyton Manning was in town at the Boise Open. We'll have tickets to give away for that. You're a big Peyton Manning guy. Is it true that you guys hung out?
No. It wasn't last night the news came out. It was yesterday morning the news came out. But, didn't get a chance to hang with him. I'm not Ryan Clady. He doesn't take me to dinner every Friday night.
I see. Well, it's...
I'd let him if he wanted to.
It's a big deal that Peyton was in town, or still is in town, or hanging out in town.
No, I think he's probably come and gone, would be my guess. That would just be my guess.
Sure, but I mean, you're a big Peyton Manning guy.
Yeah, I am impressed having watched him play, not only on TV, but got a chance to see him play in person once. One of those guys that he's just very good. He's very good at what he does.
Indeed. And of course, very focused on his craft, always trying to go to the next level. So how big of a deal was it that he was in town for the golf?
I think it was a big deal. I mean, he was a speaker. Media got a chance to do a little Q&A with him, you know. But it was one of those deals that I think it was a good get for the Open.
For the Open. Of course, the Stampede going on. It is Cure Night tonight.
Yep.
Urging a lot of people to go out and, you know, not only see some great action, but take a stand against cancer. That's so important these days.
Yeah, you know, and maybe it's, you know, as you age, as you gray, you just seems like more and more people are afflicted and hit by it. But, yeah, something to be very conscious of and bring attention to.
Well, you've got that going on. Of course, the border situation still continuing. Now, you know, you just wonder what the solution is. And I think you and I were talking about this off the air. It just doesn't seem like the president wants to be president anymore.
It doesn't, and he really does not want his picture associated with anything to do with the border. I really think that's a big part of it. But You know, we've discussed, and I've heard other people discussing the fact of, you know, could this be his Katrina? I don't know if it'll stick or not. I mean, George Bush, blamed for just flying over the Katrina damage, not going and getting in the middle of it. The president hadn't even bothered to fly over and see the damage going on with this.
Right. Was this? It's just as if he does not want anything to do with the border, and yet he's the guy talking about immigration reform and everything else.
Yeah. So, boy, I tell you, it... I don't know whether it's that or whether I was reading something on here real quickly just about the Middle East, you know, whether it's what's going on with Hamas and Israel or Syria, what's going on at the border. He just seems to be, you know, 30,000 feet above it all.
Yeah. And then you keep wondering about the diseases and everybody else coming in. And it's a public safety issue.
I think, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it's much more than a public safety issue than it was 6 months ago. It's always been a public safety issue.
Right.
Illegals coming over the border and as far as, you know, bringing in things that we thought we had in check here. You know, I lived in Central America for a number of years, and, you know, you were always seeing outbreaks of different diseases there amongst some of the village areas. And so now that, you know, kind of free-flowing. But I don't think it's any more, you know, other than the sheer volume coming in. But it's not like it's huge more than it was before. It was a problem before.
Yeah, but I mean, just the overall volume of people.
Yeah, and it is huge. It is absolutely huge, you know. And then just for the fact that it's, you know, children and women, you know, it does tug at your heartstrings when you see kids. But the truth is they're being sent over here by somebody irresponsible enough to put their kid with somebody else and send them. And a lot of those people they call kids, they're 16, 17 years old.
Exactly.
Not quite as kid-like as, you know, two-year-olds.
Some of them affiliated with the gangs.
Yep, some of them are, very much so, and or being recruited immediately.
Yeah, they're actually using the border to recruit.
Yeah, so it's a tough situation, and it needs to be dealt with firmly. And what do we have till the end of the month? And then everybody goes on vacation in Washington, D.C., and nothing will happen unless the president signs an order.
I think everybody's on vacation now.
Well, I think officially it's the end of July. Then they go on August break.
I think I'm talking about everybody here.
Where?
I mean, in the Treasure Valley, just pretty much seems like everybody's on vacation.
Not me, not yet. I will be, not yet. I wish I was. I wish Peyton Manning was taking me to dinner.
Peyton, yeah, that would be nice. So we've got that going on. Mike Miller signing with the Cavs. Big All-Star game last night. You're a big baseball guy, aren't you?
Yep. Jeter said his goodbyes last night officially at the All-Star game.
Right.
Great guy. Apparently, I don't know him, but appears to be a good guy. Played hard. Appears to have played clean. And a credit to the game.
I see.
Yesterday, Broncos Boise State Coach Rice announcing they'll be playing North Carolina State on Black Friday. That'll be fun. That'll be a good one.
Right.
So that's going to be big. That's good for the program.
You don't
think it's good for the program?
I just, I'm very curious to see how it goes this year. As you know, I was very critical of the Veer option offense that they installed, and you defended it. I did not. We went back and forth.
The Veer option.
Remember the whatever that option they ran?
The basketball team?
No, the football team.
Oh, but thanks for listening to what I said. Okay. All right.
No, but every time you talk about Boise State, I'm just, again, it goes back to the overall challenges this year, not to the individual game or anything. Just the idea of replacing Coach Peterson, the changing of the guard, Brian Harsin working very hard, but as we all know, will that equal success? Who knows? And just a lot of unanswered questions. And then every time I think of them, I think of, as we've talked about off the air, again, I'm just distracted because I think of what type of innovations he'll bring back. Actually, when I think of Boise State, I think of the trick plays, as they call them. That's really where my mind goes.
Oh, okay. Because I thought we were talking basketball. But no, for Harsin, I think an advantage Boise State, the only advantage Boise State will have over Ole Miss, Ole Miss won't quite know what's coming at them. They won't know what offense or defense is coming at them. They can look at old tapes and assume that maybe it's what Harsin did before.
Right.
I think that'll be the one advantage they have is, you know, just the fact that they're going to have to take, you know, a quarter to figure out what it is Boise State's doing. if Ole Miss is smart, what they need to do for Boise State, Ole Miss just needs to smash them in the mouth. That's what they need to come out and do, just smash them in the mouth, set them on their heels, and then for them to reset to see what Boise State's doing.
Right.
That's just my thought on it.
Now, I keep just wondering what type of innovations Harsin's going to bring to the table, that's all. That's just what my mind is focused on every time I hear Boise State, not basketball, not anything else, just the type of innovations that are going to be there. And, you know, if you get by, you know, here's another hypothetical at 580KIDO. If you get by Ole Miss, how far up could they go if they would go undefeated?
You know, under the new system we'll start with this year, that will be very interesting to see. You know, it'll be interesting to see what the new system does.
Right. I mean, it's comprised of these individuals, and they're going to say the polls don't matter, but does that mean that an undefeated Boise State would make it to the top four, or would it be you're locked out all over again?
Yeah, I tend to think the latter, but time will tell, but I tend to think the latter.
Yeah, it just kind of that amazes me that even with this new revised system, which was designed to keep Boise State out, and really Boise State was the only team that didn't get the get out of jail free card. Look at all the other BCS busters. Utah, they sold out. TCU, they sold out. Look, we don't blame them. Look, someone offers you a better deal, more money,
you go.
Right. Specifically, when you take a look at, you know, the Mountain West Conference and everything else, compare that to the Big 12 or to the Pac-12 or any of these other conferences, I get it. But on the and look, Boise State was going to leave until the Big East exploded or imploded or what have you.
Yeah, it definitely imploded.
Yeah, but okay, so hypothetically, so they could probably get into a BCS type game like they did before, but probably depending on the national championship, if they're undefeated or one loss teams or what have you, you know, they would probably get back to the Fiesta Bowl or whatever has the five teams, because if you beat Ole Miss and you run the table and you win the conference championship, I'm sure you're going to be that team out of Conference USA, the All American, the Mountain West, the, you know, AARP conferences.
Mm-hmm. I tend to believe, and a lot of people get mad when I say this, and I always get an angry email, I think the old bowl system was probably the best bet for Boise State.
Not the BCS.
Oh, even the BCS system. Okay. Better than a playoff system. Very difficult when you have the resources of a mid-major college to go in and try to win, you know, 3-4 games in a row against the big boys. It's very difficult to do. It's one thing to go in and jump somebody and beat them. It's another thing to do it 4 weeks in a row with the resources that you have. Very difficult.
Well, and again, for the kids, lo and behold, a couple more weeks and they'll be practicing in the heat.
Yep, that they will. And I've been told by a couple of people on the inside of the program, Harsin runs a very tight ship, very tight camp. His workouts, very, very tough compared to what they were doing.
Tougher than Coach Pete.
Yep. And the camp, the way camp runs, tighter than what Coach Pete ran. Yeah, very, very disciplined.
Well, we'll have to see if that plays out.
Yep. Yeah, so, yeah, and time will tell. Time will tell. But, no, I'm excited about the North Carolina State thing for basketball. I think it's awesome.
NC State. Mark Gottfried is the coach there.
Yep, he's taken them to the NCAA playoffs, I think. He's been there 3 seasons. I think all 3 seasons he's been there, they've been to the tournament.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because NC State is kind of the forgotten child there in Raleigh, if you will. Because you have Carolina, you have Duke, even Wake Forest to a degree. But NC State never really should have gotten rid of the coach at Arizona State, Herb Sendek. All he did was take him to, like, the Sweet 16. They brought in another guy from their championship team. You can tell. I'm not even a basketball guy, and I know this. And then all of a sudden, Godfrey comes in out of where did he coach before, Dave Burnett?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you that.
Oh, it's your favorite school ever? I'm not setting you up to fail here. It's your favorite school that you love to bash me about.
Alabama?
Alabama. He took Alabama to the Elite Eight 1 year, the same year that University of Birmingham, Alabama, went to the Elite Eight, I believe. And a couple years later, a couple issues, and he was gone.
See ya.
Yeah, just the crazy world of college sports. But Gottfried landed at NC State, had a good couple classes, and he was in trouble. And I think if this is just how it works, that you have these unreal expectations that he was on his way out until he made the tournament. And, you know, word out of Raleigh is that he's okay, but, you know, he's a fairly decent coach, had some success. His brother, Mike Godfrey, actually is the guy who brought to old famous football coach that put together the GoDaddy Bowl.
Hmm. And then his dad, Arthur Godfrey, was an old comedian.
And speaking of which, just because we're kind of desperate for information today, have you been watching the SEC Media Days at all?
I have been so busy with work, I have not had a chance to really do anything.
I've been taping them, but even I'm kind of looking at it going, gosh, you guys are full of yourselves. You know, and I've only taped it because, you know, there's nothing on, so I hoard my stuff now,
mm-hmm.
and then I never watch it. But I just, gee whiz, guys, enough.
Well, they've got their own network. They've got their own league. They have set themselves apart from the rest of the world.
Well, I love how ESPN is pushing everybody to pressure DirecTV.
To carry the network?
Right.
Yeah. Well, good for ESPN.
Well, I mean, everybody. Glenn Beck's pressuring DirecTV. You're pressuring DirecTV. I'm just fair and balanced.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
So we've got that going on. Anything else that you'd like to share with us here today?
No, just, you know, we're into the hot days of summer right now, and just batten down the hatches. Just what I do want to encourage you, and I know I sound like Bob Barker here, but if you have pets, make sure they got water. Elderly, make sure you check on them. I got an elderly neighbor that I check on every day just to make sure she's doing okay. And if you have pets, make sure they have lots of water because it's tough out there right now.
Oh, not only that, but darn it, I was going to say, oh, hello to our friend Max who listens every morning in Washington, D.C. Hello, Max.
Max? Max, like Max Headroom, Max?
No, Max. Max listens every day.
All right,
we won't reveal his identity, but he has gone a long way. We're very proud of him, and even though he has a lot of choices in Washington, D.C., he listens to this program, specifically the Manly Man segment.
Oh, good. Well, in D.C., I mean, it's late now.
Yeah.
It's pushing towards, 8 o'clock already.
Time to get up and start the day.
Traffic now, Kevin.